Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, my guest is Dean Henderson, but before I bring him on, I have to thank C60 Purple Power, of course. You've heard me talk about the amazing benefits, how great I feel, how I've lost over 30 pounds, but just check it out yourself. Click the link in the description or visit c60purplepower.com. If you click the link in the description, you will automatically get 10% off your order plus free shipping, or you can use coupon code KNOWLEDGE10. Please check that out. Man, I feel great, and you should definitely too. Tonight, I want to welcome back to the show Dean Henderson. He is an activist, international political analyst, and the author of several books such as Big Oil and Their Bankers in the Persian Gulf, Four Horsemen, Eight Families and Their Global Intelligence, Narcotics, and Terror Network, The Grateful Unrich, Revolution in 50 Countries, Sticking It to the Matrix, The Federal Reserve Cartel, Illuminati Agenda 21, the Luciferian Plan to Destroy Creation, and Nephilim Crown 5G Apocalypse. Dean, welcome back. How are you doing tonight?
Doing good, Chris. How are you doing?
I'm hanging in there. Like I said earlier, so much going on, but doing good under the circumstances. And since we last talked, things have been rapidly unraveling, and we have the selection coming up, as I like to call it, soon. And I have the feeling no matter what the outcome of that is, there's going to be some major unrest across the country. It's very clear the direction that those in power are trying to steer us, especially now if you look back at everything that's happened since this pandemic, whatever you want to call it, started. And all the agendas that were rolled out over the past few months, it's very convenient. Also, we have a completely divided nation, both politically and racially, which has been accomplished through the media psychological warfare techniques. And there are still so many people that think that one of these puppets that are running for office, running for president, is going to save us from all this and magically fix everything. And that's where I want to start tonight. I want to get your thoughts on what's happening surrounding the election. And do you think that it's already been determined who the winner is going to be?
Yeah, well, you know, so true, the selection process, and I, for one, will not be participating in that and giving it my approval, and I would encourage others to do the same.
Hear, hear.
I mean, I think they could go either way because, you know, I think Trump was put into power by the crown, which is what I talk about lately, because I've learned that the crown is behind not just COVID, but, well, pretty much every major war, disaster, genocide, plague, terrorist act, everything in the history, assassination of our presidents, Kennedy and Lincoln, and on and on, 9/11, on and on. They put Trump in clearly with Cambridge Analytica at the wheel, which is there's a chapter about in my last book called Cambridge Analytica and the Facebook PSYOP. And that's a subsidiary of SCL Corporation, which is a Crown Corporation based in London. With Lord Mountbatten on the board of directors. He's a bloodline Nephilim Crown family member, and the Mountbattens, you know, from the old Indian Raj days. And they clearly tilted the election for Trump. And I think the reason was, and the whole Russiagate thing is Crown Gate, is what it is, because the Steele dossier, that's the British intelligence agent, you know, delivering this dossier up. They did follow Trump and they monitored him because they wanted to make sure they could trust him. And whether or not he completed everything, and, you know, I think he's kind of a little rogue for him, but they knew that. But they also knew that he would divide the country. That was the key. Just create chaos, divide the country like never before, at least in my lifetime. And they put him in there. So I think now I tend to think that they want Biden because Biden, his slogan is Build Back Better, which is the slogan of the, you know, came from the World Economic Forum and one of their papers. And it's all about basically replacing this old industrial economy with this, you know, fourth industrial revolution, 5G economy. And, you know, for that reason, they didn't mind it that the rioters just tore apart our inner cities at the expense of small business and local governments who are all going bankrupt, because they need to retool those inner cities anyway with the 5G technology and the smart grids and everything. So, you know, for them, it's perfect. So I think, and then even Boris Johnson in the UK has been using the same slogan, build back better, you know? And so it's like, it's a Illuminati New World Order phrase, you know? So I'm pretty sure they want Biden. He's also going to mask everybody up, and he's going to, he's the guy that's going to listen to the science, you know? And all that means is he's going to listen to Big Pharma, the Rockefeller pharmaceutical complex, you know, Bill Gates, big tech. He's going to listen to those guys, and that's what they want. And they could live with Trump if he got through, because then they could divide it further and there could be a backlash, you know, by the Trump election. They could say he stole, but the same could be said about if Biden wins it. You know, you could have the Trump QAnon people out there doing their thing. So, but they're all a bunch of zombies. They're all hoodwinked. They're all fooled. They're all, you know, and a lot of the conspiracy shows and stuff are full of these QAnon people. And I'm one of the few that doesn't subscribe to it, because I'm a socialist. I'm an old socialist from way back, you know, and that was when socialism was about economics, which it still is. It's nothing's changed. You can't just change the meaning of a word, but what they've done is they've created this fake left, which is all about transgender, taking our guns, crazy stuff. Nothing to do with economics, nothing to do with working class people getting ahead, or unions, or, you know, against imperialist wars overseas against working people. Nothing about that. Just divide and conquer along racial lines, gender lines, whatever lines they can come up with. And whereas old socialists try to unify people, you know, and bring people together. And that's still what we need to do. And it's still the answer. It still is what scares the shit out of the Federal Reserve cartel and the crown is real socialism. But which is why they're counter revolutionary. Every country that ever has been that way, like Chavez in Venezuela, or like the Ba'ath Party in Syria, or like even Saddam Hussein towards the end moved way to the left because the Iraqi people were largely communists. You know, the biggest party in Iraq was the Communist Party. So they've taken out all this opposition all over the world. They marched Evo Morales out at gunpoint in Bolivia. They marched Yanukovych out at gunpoint in Ukraine. Apparently Hunter Biden made some money off that. And, you know, they've just remade the world to the point now where really they own everything. They own every piece of the mainstream political spectrum, which requires money to participate. So those ideas I just espoused will not get a dime in PAC money from anybody or anywhere. And so they're completely in charge of both parties. There's no difference between the parties, honestly, except for, you know, a few tokens, social issues, where they virtue signal one way or the other and try to work up their base. But bottom line, whoever gets elected, corporations will get more powerful. Their ownership over the economy will grow. The banking families will get more powerful. They've already got more powerful just since the COVID crisis. The Fed has tacked $4 trillion onto our national debt. It was 23, now it's 27 trillion. And all that money went to buying basically junk bonds, corporate bonds, corporations that were going to go under if they didn't buy them. And that's what propped up Wall Street. And that's what prevented a crash in September before COVID even happened. Was when they opened the repo and they started doing these things. So it's a huge transfer of wealth is one thing about COVID. No, and it's a huge consolidation of political power. And it shows that the oligarchy, the global oligarchy, doesn't really have to anymore. So in some ways, Chris, I'm just like, why are you doing a show? Because, you know, you can watch this stuff and you know, hopefully people will. But I'm about done talking because I don't have to anymore, because all you have to do now is go to Moderna's website and they'll tell you all about how they're going to have this software upgrade in the vaccine, and it's going to be nanoparticles. And, or you can go to, you know, Bill Gates, different websites or different, you know, things he says, and you can hear him talking all about how he's going to require digital certification and digital tattoos and, you know, or, you know, you can just, they're just out in the open. They're just telling you exactly what they got planned for you now. They don't have to hide. They don't have to worry about a political party, an upstart, you know, taking them out. We're probably at the end now of wars between countries, because again, they've taken out all the radical renegade leaders and countries in the world for the most part. And so now it's just a crown war on humanity. Like the good old days, like the good old days in Europe, and not just in Europe, but I mean in Africa and Asia and Latin America, right here in the United States, where the genocide of the Indians, you know, Christopher Columbus was working for the King of Spain, the crown, you know, the Bourbons, and all these people that came here, Amerigo Vespucci, all these people were just working for the crown, every single one of them. And so you're going back to the Dark Ages, you're going back to this medieval Dark Ages thing, where it's just a crown versus the peasants, and there's not gonna be no middle class, forget about it. They're getting washed out as we speak, all these small businesses that got taken out during this pandemic, all the jobs that were lost. What's 68 million people I think have applied for unemployment since the beginning of this, and there's still first-time claims are almost a million. So that's all gone, and there's no political party to vote for, so you don't have any possibility of being represented. There's no democracy in this country. This country is owned lock, stock, and barrel by the crown, by the Nephilim crown, out of the city of London, unregulated, do whatever they want, run the offshore banking network, put contractors in the middle of everything we do in this country. You privatize everything. Now you've privatized the military. And then you have contractors, all crown corporations that are the security forces for our military, like in Serco. And you have just this system of almost like British mercantilism, like the East India Company with computers, you know, and with technology, you know. And when you have that, when you have that sheer power concentrated in the hands of so few people, and then you add technology into the mix, who do you think is going to win? I mean, labor's always been a vis-a-vis capital. And, you know, Adam Smith of the East India Company is the guy that came up with capitalism. And, you know, but now capitalism has the technology, the algorithms. The laws of economics are out the window. I mean, there's no more supply and demand. You know, you can't beat these people at anything anymore, guessing which way it's going to go, because they know which way it's going to go. You know, if they think people aren't going to buy new cars this year, they'll just shutter production because the algorithms know how many cars are going to sell. And then down on a personal level, they know exactly what you're spending on by when you use your debit card. They know exactly what websites you're going to, because of all the cookies and all the, well, the NSA. The NSA is Cisco, Intel. You know, a lot of these companies have always been NSA. The internet itself is a weapon. It's a military weapon. Okay, so the whole idea is, as Catherine Austin Fitz has stated very eloquently, the petroleum standard is dead, and we're now on a human standard. And that means you and I and everybody else are going to be carved up into little pieces and analyzed and exploited, and they're going to make bets on us. They're going to throw us into the Wall Street casino. That's the next phase. And opportunity zones, okay, for example, when Trump came up with these opportunity zones, and it's basically a privatization of the welfare state. So you have Goldman Sachs gets an area of, you know, Brooklyn or something, or the Bronx maybe, with his poor people. And they take the risk. So they brag about, oh, the government's going to save us money. And in the end, they bet on people. And if they find out that, you know, they administer the social welfare state. So they say, here's your card and your food stamp card or whatever they call that, which is administered by Lockheed Martin, by the way. Another crown agent and the biggest defense contractor in the world. And they say, well, okay, we notice on your debit card or on your food card or whatever it is that you bought potato chips instead of apples at the store. So now we're going to go ahead and cut off your medical appointments for this week, you know, because you're a bad citizen. And this is where it's all going. And they're dressing it up in all this nice language, and public-private partnerships is a big one, which means the public pays for it and the private partnership makes the money is what that means. And then if they lose money on it, then I suppose we'll pay for it, just like the Fed did with the $4 trillion on our debt, which is a private banking cartel bailing out their corporate subsidiaries, and then we pay for that. And that's the way they've got it rigged up. You know, it's socialism when times are bad for the corporations, capitalism when times are good and they get all the profits. But when they lose out, we pay for it. We bail them out every single time. So now That's the way it's all going. Social impact investing. There's all kinds of catchphrases. You're going to start seeing commercials on TV in your state for like a care program or something. We'll help you do this. Or, you know, even like Noom, that thing, Noom, it's the same kind of thing on the internet where, oh, they can help you quit smoking or they can help you lose weight. And it's the same thing. But to do that, you're entering all your data and you're basically creating a dossier on yourself in the cloud, on the Amazon, Microsoft, Pentagon, Crown Cloud. And you're really exposing yourself to a lot of bad things. And so I figure, you know, it's like basically they're having us create these dossiers on ourselves at our expense and with our wasted time, and they get all the profit. So again, in this case, you know, I guess you're the public and they're the private partnership, but this is the Orwellian future that they have planned. Now, whether or not they're able to pull it off, not so sure about that. I mean, 5G is failing. I mean, we've had three different, vaccine trials gone awry already. You know, Johnson & Johnson, AstraZeneca, Pfizer have all had to stop their trials because people are keeling over. Now in South Korea, a bunch of people keeled over from a vaccine trial there. The 5G is not working very well. Even the techie critics who are gaga for it, you know, are saying, it doesn't really work, doesn't speed things up, doesn't help. So, you know, it's all, these people are Luciferians. They think they're smarter than Creator. They want to remake man in their image instead of God's image because we're not good enough. God didn't make us good enough. And this is who they are, whether or not they know it. Now at the top level, of course they know it. And, you know, in the Freemason Bible, which is Albert Pike's Morals and Dogma, it talks all about Lucifer and how great Lucifer is all over. I mean, it's just right out there in the open. You know, you have to listen to me, just read the damn book. And they take it seriously, you know, so, you know, whether or not it's going to work or not, but that's who these people are. And
yeah,
I mean, I don't think it's going to work because they're fallen angels. They're kicked out of the heavens for a reason. These crown bloodline families, and they're not very smart. They're inbred beyond belief. And they're depending on these people who are so programmed with their sickness, with their psychosis, like Bill Gates, people whose families didn't give them enough love, so they have to prove themselves over and over and over and do these crazy things and make these big promises. And they're making a lot of promises right now. And they have a lot of big plans right now for us. But it's all going to depend on whether or not the technology is actually, if they're able to sort of commandeer it. And also it's going to depend, of course, on whether or not the people will comply. And those are two big questions, but that's right. Kind of where it sits. So, yeah, I'm picking. I think they want Biden, though, in a short answer to your election question.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to break down in what you just said. I want to kind of go over that. First, I want to say I don't think you should stop talking because there's, you know, even though the information's out there, there are a lot more people waking up every day that are starting to listen to these alternative sources. And, you know, this information it's helping people right now. I think it's actually making a difference the more, you know, information that we can get out like this. Now, I happen to agree with you that if Biden is elected, that these agendas are just going to flow through so simply that he's just going to go along with all these, dystopian things that they want to roll out. It's just going to be simply put out there and it'll just happen. Now, Trump, I'm not sure. I know there'll be social unrest. Maybe it'll take a little longer, but I agree that they are both just puppets. They're going to still want the same outcome either way. Now, you mentioned something earlier that I think is important to talk about is the QAnon thing. I think that it's giving Americans false hope. I think it is in somewhat an op. I still am not sure, like, who's behind it and what's really going on with it. But I think it is something that is giving Americans false hope. I think that there's some kind of shadiness to it and I don't trust it. What are your thoughts on this QAnon thing?
No, I think you're right on the money, and it keeps people on the couch doing nothing. And, thinking that there's this, you know, these white knights out there that are going to do everything for you, and that Trump's that, you know, the head of it, or he's at least being used by him, or, you know, so basically that's what they do. They placate people. They had a problem with the Tea Party crowd and they wanted to make them more docile. And so Trump used that small margin of the alt-right to get elected, even though he had no intention of pushing forward any of their agenda. but it made them complacent. Just like when Obama was elected, first black president, and the liberals go gaga, made them complacent, made the left activists complacent, you know? And so they do this back and forth. And now they got, oh yeah, the Biden, you know, the BLM people are all lathered up. So now what do you want to do? You want to bring Biden in, make them complacent. Joe's going to carry out Bernie Sanders' plans. Joe's not going to do that. Joe's a capitalist. Joe is already backpedaling away from all that stuff. And of course he will. Of course he will. So predictable. There's no difference between neoliberals and neoconservatives, you know? They're the same. I mean, they're fascists. They don't care about working people. They don't care about our concerns. They just care about making money. And which is, you know, Kamala Harris's husband is a big old Silicon Valley lawyer, you know? And I mean, it's just, but you know, QAnon, it's a psyop. It's probably NSA. And I think, you know, beyond making people complacent, it's also the machines are learning from the people who are going to the QAnon sites and checking out stuff. So they're learning, they're establishing a dossier on every reader of QAnon. And, you know, it's an intelligence operation. And it's just as much for intelligence gathering on the population at large as it is for, you know, making them complacent, but it's both. And, but again, you know, that's what I think. And it, to me, it's pretty clear. It always has been. I mean, although, you know, in some respects it could backfire on, because there's some of these things they're talking about, you know, which are true, which maybe some people didn't know about. So,
yeah. And that's what I want to kind of, mention is some of the things that they've been talking about with the sex trafficking and pedophilia in Hollywood. I've noticed a lot of strange things when it comes to Hollywood lately. It seems like some of these major celebrities, especially when it comes to what they're doing on social media, is very strange. Some of the rumors you're hearing, many of them seem to be stepping out of the limelight and stepping down, which celebrities usually don't do. There seems to be this shift going on in Hollywood. It has, not sure exactly what it has to do with. It could have something to do with the crackdown of sex trafficking. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, I'm not as up on that, I guess. Chris, hopefully it's a good thing.
Yeah.
Haven't really noticed that so much. But, you know, that's the problem with the whole big part of our problem in this country is this kind of cult of celebrity.
Right.
Where, you know, like, just like, yeah, people want, you know, they're going to get in Trump's camp or in Biden's camp or Leonardo DiCaprio's their hero or, you know, it's just always like putting people up on these pedestals, you know. Rather than taking responsibility and trying to make yourself a hero, you know, be a hero, man. You be the hero. That's the whole point. I'm an anarchist, which means I just say I accept responsibility for all my actions, and I expect you to do the same. And I don't need a government to rule over me. I don't need corporations to rule over me. I don't need telling me what to do. I don't want to tell anybody what to do. I'm an egalitarian anarchist, and so that's a lot of responsibility in that. And it doesn't mean breaking things and rioting. That's just what the man tells you it means. It means being a responsible person and governing your own actions. And again, not being over anybody, not being under anybody, being just no more pyramids, no more power, you know, formations. This is all crown shit. This is all Anunnaki lizard brain crown stuff, you know, that they've foisted upon us to enslave us. And then we become the enslavers. We help the slavers make, you know, go get some more slaves because our brains are washed out now. And that's like Gates and these guys. I mean, they're the worst washed out of the bunch. You know, you have to be to rise to the top in the system. You have to be a total crook, a total psychopath, because that's the way it's set up. And so the best people will be the ones that don't succeed, you know, really. And that just kind of keep at it and do the right thing. And there's no money in that, as you know. So, but we do what we can, and we've eked it out, and that's great. But I mean, that's kind of the way it's all set up. So you have kind of the craziest people right now, like Fauci and Gates and Musk, and the craziest people telling us what we should do. And that's a dangerous situation, of course, for the human race.
Right.
And it's a magic spell. It's just the whole COVID thing is just a magic spell designed to put us in the state of fear. And then once we're in that state of fear, we can be so easily manipulated into the next thing, which is, you know, who knows what it's going to be. Project Bluebeam in November, fake alien invasion, projections of Jesus in the sky for the evangelicals. I mean, there's going to, you know, dark winter. I mean, Biden said it in the debate the other night, and that was creepy. You know, he brought it up. He said, we're going to have a dark winter. And a lot of us have been talking about this dark winter exercise that they did around 9/11. And, you know, it's like the power goes out and, you know, stuff like that. It's bad. And this is probably just the preamble. You know, this COVID-19 is probably just the preamble. But if it's a beta test of the hive mind, as I've said before, and so they're probing and they're finding out how big of a lie can they tell? And will we believe these psychopaths that they've appointed, like Bill Gates, who's a knight commander of the British Empire, as I mentioned before, 2005, which means he's prosecuting a war for the crown. He's a military wing. You know, he's not a guy that can just retire to the countryside in England and become a baron or a sir or whatever, or a duke. He's a knight commander of the British Empire. It is what it is. It says what it says. And Elon Musk is a member of the Royal Society. You know, it is what it is. Google it, you know, Wikipedia it, whatever. Don't believe me. It's all right there. It's all right there. And AstraZeneca, Crown Corporation, GlaxoSmithKline, Crown Corporation, Lockheed Martin, Crown Corporation, General Electric, Crown Corporation, Crown Agents. And these are all Crown Agents. And so what it is, it's an attempt right now to destroy America, recapture it for the Crown. And they want a new world order because they're the ones that, you know, have always run the world. Well, 8,000 years at least. And they don't want governments anymore. They don't need them anymore. They just want bloodline families telling us what to do, unelected bloodline families. And they're nuts. They're just nuts.
Yeah. And I want to know, what level do you think that most of these government officials are compromised? Because it seems that there are pockets of local leaders and officials that are trying to go against the narrative and trying to maybe do some good things, but only small pockets in certain states. Mm-hmm. At what level do you think that they're compromised? To me, it seems like once you hit the state level, that's it. You're playing the game and you're in. What do you think?
Yeah, that's probably about right. You know, state level. There might be a few that get through if you're in a really poor area, or like, you know, like Dennis Kucinich or Cynthia McKinney. Even on a national level, you can get through if you're in a really poor area of Atlanta or Cleveland. But they're rare, and increasingly rare, because again, the money involved with the political process has just increased, you know, every year. So, you know, I ran for Congress back in 2004 in Missouri, and actually won the Democrat primary. And I raised like $17,000. And I did all these surveys from all these, you know, like the Better Business Bureau and the Chamber of Commerce and all these, and fill them out, send them back. And they hated me, of course. And so, you know, I wasn't offered any money. I wouldn't have taken it anyway, but there's no way they would have given me any money. So if you don't toe the corporate line, you don't get money, period. I raised $17,000, all small donations, and my opponent raised $1 million, like she does every year that she ever was in there, which is like 20 years straight. And there's no chance. So, I mean, you got a little better chance on the state level, and you actually have a really good chance on the county and city levels. You know, maybe not a big city, but, you know, as far as like your city council, your county commission, your mayors, that's where you have the effect. And that's really, I'd say to people, you know, get to know your local city council, get to know your sheriff, get to know your mayor, and get in their ear and tell them about this stuff and see what they say when you tell them all this stuff. And because they're all, you know, part of the system, but you can actually impact that for real. And it may come down to seceding from the union. Like, you know, here in South Dakota, we have a state where we never locked down ever. And other than Tennessee and North Dakota, we're the only ones that didn't. Now, Tennessee's got several cities that locked down. And we had some reservations here that locked down in fact, Pine Ridge just locked down again for another week. But as far as the state governor and the legislature, there was never anything here, never any requirements to shut anything down or wear a mask or anything. So, and our governor, Kristi Noem, you might have seen her on the news, and, you know, she's become kind of a public face of the opposition to this whole Fauci regime, and she's taken a lot of shit for it. And she's still hanging in there and talking about how masks are bad for you and all kinds of stuff. So maybe we got to secede from the union. You know, that's a possibility. Maybe even smaller, like a municipality could secede from a state. I mean, these are the kind of things that's going to be coming up here, because I guarantee you, if Biden gets in there, you just saw Fauci say it today. He said he wants a national mask mandate. Fauci just said that today on the news. I don't know if you caught it.
Yeah.
But he's telling you two things. He's telling you Biden's going to get elected, because that's what Biden will do, and I'm his boy or whatever. And he's telling you that is actually going to happen, probably, that he's going to try to push through a national mask mandate. Now, I can't imagine how Kristi Noem's going to react to that. I know how I'm going to react to that. I know how people in my town here are going to react to that, and we're not going to like it.
Right.
We have a lot of guns out here, like a lot of guns, and we could shoot good because, you know, we grew up hunting, fishing, trapping. That's what we did in South Dakota in the cold weather, in the middle of winter. And we'll drive a car down the interstate and we'll just go where we're going. And, you know, we're hardy people, and we're not going to put up with this namby-pamby bullshit from the federal level. So guarantee you, and I want Fauci and Biden and all these people to know this, man. Guarantee you, man, you try bringing your mask mandate or any other mandate, vaccine mandate or any other mandate from your medical mafia of fascist pharmaceutical companies, and we're not, that's when it's just, the gloves are off, okay? So right now, we're just trying to stay out of the way. Trying to stay out of your way and let you idiots do what you want. If you want to mask up in New York or whatever, go for it, man. You know, but if you come here and to my home state, and there's a lot of people here of the same feeling, that's part of the reason I'm here, you know, for sure.
Well, you know, I have a lot of problems with my state, Louisiana, where I live, but that is one thing that I do like, is that people here are not going along with this mask agenda. They're sick of it. A lot of people around the nation are getting sick of this mask agenda.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much longer they're going to be able to keep pushing it. I did a show with one of my my best friends and researchers, Corey Hughes. He does a lot of research on psychological warfare. And he was pulling up the COVID numbers. And basically, even according to the CDC, the pandemic is over. The levels are nowhere near what they were when it first started. So why are we going to keep pushing this mask mandate? It's crazy. It's ridiculous.
Probably to make people sick from pneumonia, which they're catching in droves when they were in these masks.
Yeah.
And obviously to get us ready for the vaccine, which, you know, Australia right now, they're bringing in the military and they're forcing people to take the vaccine. It's crazy. So no, that's exactly, I'm glad to hear that. That's exactly the attitude we're going to need, is it only works if we comply.
Yeah.
And you're right. A lot of people are sick of it. This PCR test, 96% false positives. It's all adjustable. They just turn up the microscope. They find all genetic material. Plus it was all computer generated. They basically made this virus so that we would test positive, because they knew we had this in us. And like, let's make this, and that way everybody will test positive, basically. So it's just a numbers game. It's just black magic. And there's no reason for this freak out, you know. But people are getting paid to freak out too. And like, if you're in the media and you freak out, you know, you get paid. If you're, I know the Indian reservations here even have gotten money, big money to do like COVID testing, and it's probably why they're doing the lockdown on the res and all this stuff. And meanwhile, yeah, the death count has gone down since September. You know, the numbers keep going up. Why? Because they're testing more. There's a $5 test now, but these tests are wrong anyway, and it's a total scam. So yeah, I think people are getting onto it too, and I think they've kind of overstepped. I really do. I think that's why I say I think it's all going to fall on its face, because really what they've done is they've stepped out of the shadows and they've shown us who they are. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see it. I mean, you don't even have to be a political person to see it. I mean, you could just be average Joe working 40 a week and drinking a six pack on the weekends or whatever, and you could still see it. You know, it's so obvious, right? And
yeah, it seems like they're trying to do it too quickly.
Yeah. They're rushing it. You know why they're rushing it, Chris, is precisely what you said, is people are waking up.
Yeah.
And they were waking up before COVID too. And there was even a lot of talk about the crown. Oh my God. Like Prince Harry fled, and Prince Andrew was in the hot seat with Epstein, and you know, all of a sudden there was a lot of focus on the crown. You know, the King of Spain had to like leave Spain because he was involved with some corruption scandal, and that just happened a few weeks ago. And so there's still heat on the crown, and they know that. And so they're having to really intensify this New World Order push because they know the people are waking up. And so it's really going to come down to that. And all we can do is just keep talking and keep pushing back, and not even just pushing back, but push them over, like go on offense, you know, like don't play defense, play offense, and deliberately provoke them. And, you know, whatever you have to do. I go into Walmart all the time without masks, and now I'm seeing more people without masks. And, you know, the more you do that, the more you say, look, this is bullshit, just by your actions. You don't have to say a thing. And the more that liberates other people from the psychosis, from the, it's a Wetiko, you know, it's what the Indians call the Wetiko mind, you know, like a mind parasite. That's what we're dealing with here, like a fear-based mind parasite. And we just have to knock it out with truth and love, because that's the opposite of that. And that's the opposite of these people, because these people are Luciferian. They're full of hate. They hate humanity. They hate themselves. They hate nature. They hate us. We have to love humanity, love ourselves, love the other people, love nature, and know that there's a creator that made us perfect. We're fine the way we are. We don't need your fucking transhumanist bullshit. We don't need your makeover. We don't need nothing from you people. You're a bunch of freaks, man. Just stay away from us, or we're going to fucking hurt you.
Very well said. Yeah, man, I agree 100%. Now, earlier you kind of hinted at the, you know, the biblical kind of aspects of this when you kind of look at it. And you hear the word apocalypse going around a lot right now. And it's in the title of one of your books, Nephilim Crown 5G Apocalypse. Now, when you look at the biblical prophecy, the book of Revelation, many ancient texts, even people that have accurately predicted, and, you know, some what you might call psychics or prophets, seeing many things that are happening right now, and saying that it does coincide with this sort of biblical apocalypse. What are your thoughts on this? Do you think we could be in this tribulation period mentioned in the book of Revelations?
Yeah. I mean, first of all, you know, the word apocalypse doesn't mean what people think it means. It's a Greek word, and it means kind of a revealing or an awakening, right? So it's not a negative thing, actually. And that's the first thing to know. So, yeah, I do think we're there. And as I said, I think they stepped out of the shadows, and we see them now. And now, are they going to create havoc because we see them? Yeah, of course so. They always create havoc. That's what they do. And then who wrote the Bible? You know, we don't know. I mean, did the Freemasons write the Bible? Did they write it like some self-fulfilling prophecy? Because Jesus was awesome. Jesus was a renegade. But the Council of Nicaea, 300 years later, pretty much took Christianity in a whole different direction and put it under the thumb of the Illuminati, the dark side. And so who wrote that Bible? Which books were left in? Which books were left out? And is Revelation 13 just something that they wrote so that they could march us to the slaughter and we'd know it was coming? You know, or is it something else? And when I talk about creator, I talk about creator. I don't talk about who wrote the Bible, because the Bible, honestly, I wouldn't trust it too much. I mean, it's like most of it is a lot of trash, if you ask me. And
it's trash mixed in with older texts that have been predated.
Yeah, no, you're right. And you have to acknowledge that too. And there's some good moral lessons in the Bible. And just like all the holy books, you know, I think they were all corrupted, but I think the meaning of all these religions was good. And it was the same. It was just love one another, be compassionate. You know, Jesus, amazing human being. I mean, the way, the truth, and the light, the way, live simple. In the mountains, no possessions, little rucksack, wander around, you know, and the truth, okay, I always speak truth to the authorities, shout them down, these principalities of darkness, Illuminati, which is the Illuminati and the crown are the ones that put him on the cross. Same people were dealing with COVID, the same people, goes way back there, see. And then the light, just love and compassion, especially for those less fortunate than you, and helping people out and making their lives a little easier instead of a little harder. which is what they teach us to do. They teach you to grab and go and make people's lives harder except for your own. That's a bullshit way to live, you know. But Jesus was awesome, but and the Buddha was awesome. He taught us to be still and the same kind of things, love and compassion and Crazy Horse and Sitting Bull and all the Indian medicine people taught us the same things, very same things. So, and it's all based on nature and being in congruence with natural law. And what these people are trying to do is bring in this whole new technocracy, which is based on, well, virtual reality. I mean, in their own words, augmented reality, crazy stuff, you know, that really takes away from nature and detracts from it and encourages people to be more materialistic and less connected to nature and more involved with their technologies and less involved with the outside world. And it's really, it's Luciferian, it's satanic, overtly so. So the part of the big thing right now is, yeah, to wipe out all those traditions, wipe out all those spiritual traditions of believing in just in the simple thing of just being a good person, being kind, you know, that just drives them nuts. You know, it doesn't fit. It doesn't fit with their thing. I saw a commercial tonight. I was watching the World Series earlier, and it was like some 5G T-Mobile commercial. It's like, I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. I want it now. And it was just over and over. And that's what it said. I want it all. I want it all. I want it all. I want it now. And wow, what a great message. You know, awesome. So, I mean, that's who they are. You know, that's who they are. They're a bunch of greedy, selfish, self-absorbed, self-hating, self-loathing, narcissistic pigs, you know, that just have, they've trashed nature for 8,000 years, ever since they got here. Because they're not from here. These are not fully human things. These Nephilim are, you know, they're hybrids. And you know, there is that off-planet element to it. I'm certain of it, because, you know, things from nature are things from nature, and things from aliens or Satan or AI or none of those things are from here. And they're all the same thing. They're all the same thing. The technology is what makes them evil. That's what people don't understand. You know, they become so addicted to this technology. And that's the other thing people have to unravel, is their addiction to technology and their dependence on it. Because hopefully there come a day when it's all gone. We can only hope, you know, because we can in our little corner here try to make a difference, but they have the whole internet. You know, Google has the whole thing. Facebook has the whole thing. And I can sit there and talk, send this interview out to people, and they'll see it for an hour. And then the rest of the time, they just see garbage, just lies on the internet, just lies on the headlines on Yahoo or wherever they go or wherever it is, wherever their search results are. They're all rigged, and that's the battle we're fighting now. I think we're doing a damn good job. I think, you know, as far as the little bit of time we have, and why? Because we speak the truth, and the truth is powerful. So it doesn't take as much time to get to people. It's just like ding dong, you know, and they get it. But yeah, this is what we're facing, is this totally fake, fraudulent leadership, fraudulent everything. Just usurping the role of gods. I mean, they really think of themselves as gods, you know, the new gods, the different gods, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, when you look at how evil and psychotic these people are, it does make you question their humanity. It makes you think, you know, how can normal human beings do this? Because when I look at some of the sick things that these elite people have done throughout time, you know, it's so hard to imagine, and it's something that I know I wouldn't be able to fathom doing. And, you know, some of the psychotic behavior of these people that's been bred through them. And I'm sure that, you know, if you're born into one of these families, you're going to be mind controlled, you're going to be tortured until you become just as psychotic as, you know, some of the leaders now. But you kind of mentioned that they are actually fallen angels and Nephilim. So talk a bit about that, you believe that the crown is basically descendants of these original fallen angels, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, where I pick it up is 8,000 years ago. And, you know, we have written documentation of it, you know. They have no written documentation for their Big Bang Theory, none. And yet we're supposed to accept that that's how it all went down. They have no written documentation for their evolutionary theory, which all of these, by the way, come from the Crown's entities, whether it's National Geographic Society or, you know, Chatham House or, you know, whatever it is, Royal House, Royal Institute of International Affairs, Royal Society of Physics, whatever it is. They just throw these things out there and we're supposed to believe these things. Evolution, for example, there's never been a link between Ramapithecus as close they got between humans and apes. And any anthropologist worth their salt would tell you that link has never been concretely established. That's a fact. That's scientific. So what are the options? What else is there out there? Okay, so you go to Sumeria 8,000 years ago. You look at the clay tablets, the cuneiform tablets in Sumeria, which was conveniently roped off to researchers starting in 1990 with the Iraq War, because that's right where the Tigris and Euphrates drained into the Gulf right there. And that was where it was all buried. No coincidence that the first thing the U.S. military did when they invaded Iraq was they went to the National Museum and they looted all the artifacts that had to do with Syria, including a lot of those tablets, and they sort of, you know, scurried them off to, I imagine, museums in London, is what I'm guessing. But they have to hide the research that was just really getting cranked up into these tablets. And, you know, they're just telling us right there that the Anunnaki Sumeria 8,000 years ago from this planet Nibiru, and they needed gold to the atmosphere around their planet because it was failing. So they came here to mine gold. This is the same time the gold mines in South Africa cranked up. This is the same time a lot of the mega, you know, the big like the pyramids and Angkor Wat and you know, Machu Picchu and all these things began appearing. And they enslaved people, and, you know, the tablets tell us that they did genetic experimentation and mutated Adamu, you know, like Adam, Adamus, that would be the worker bees kind of in the gold mines. And they tell us that they were forced in.
Dean, you there? I think you're breaking up your internet a bit. All right, there you are. They definitely didn't like what you were talking about.
No. Okay, so it's synonymous with the Anunnaki. You know, so if you'd rather use that word, go for it. But I use the word Nephilim. It's the same thing, yeah. And so anyway, from once they forced the Sumerians into agriculture, now this is the Tigris and Euphrates, this is Mesopotamia, where agriculture, everybody knows that's where it began. It's also where the Garden of Eden was located, my wife just pointed out, in the Bible, where Adamu and Eve ate the forbidden fruit. And there's two different creation stories in the Bible. There's the Adam and Eve story, the Garden of Eden story, where they took, you know, Eve took a bite out of the apple, was tempted by the snake, which probably represents the Anunnaki. Taking a bite out of the apple represents kind of a worship of your intellect and thinking you're a god. You know, and instead of just accepting creation in the Garden of Eden that was given to you, maybe hunting and gathering existence is what I think. Any one woman, and it wasn't the woman that fell. It was Genesis 6. And in that story, the animals, the plants, the atmosphere, all that stuff came first, you know, in mass. And, you know, it was a bunch of them. It wasn't just one, you know. And then man came. Once everything here was here for man and woman to survive, then they came. And almost like we were maybe not as important as the animals and plants, you know, which is a better way to think about things because they sustain us. And that's what the Indians think. You know, they're just really small compared to, you know, animals and plants. My God, you know. And of course, we've been taught just the opposite. But so anyway, from Sumeria and the Garden of Eden, which was smashed by the Anunnaki, the Anunnaki and the Nephilim, they took off and they went to Babylon and they went to Egypt. And in Babylon, they developed all organized religion and all what we call spirituality, cults of all different kinds, and sort of this detachment from reality. Because in reality, a person in life needs moral code, is the right thing. You don't need to believe in anything, believe in whatever. That's just their stuff. You just need to walk a good red road, is what the code call it, and just stay on that road and just do the right thing. And then everything falls into place and you'll know what to do. and you don't need any savior, and you don't need any, you know, person above you, or you know, some big white guy in a chair. You don't need any of that stuff, okay? And then they went to Babylon, established religion, spirituality, all that nonsense. Whereas, you know, the reality of life, all animistic people before this terrible intervention happened was just walk a good red road, you know, hunt trees last, be humble. Animals and plants are more important than me because I have to eat them. Thank you. When you kill them, thank you. Doesn't matter if it's a plant or an animal. And then the other way, I went to Egypt and they became the pharaohs. They were the pharaohs, and they built the pyramids with the slave labor of the Israelites, who were probably Coptic Christian, black Ethiopians, because those were the Israelites at that time. Those were the people who were persecuted, and they were later run out of Israel into Ethiopia. And Jesus was one of them. Jesus was definitely black. There's no doubt about it. So from there, you know, they burned the Library of Alexandria behind them, and all the records, you know, of the Gnostic knowledge, and also of their atrocities and of their bloodlines, because they didn't want us to know that, you know, the bloodlines were now going to this new place across the Mediterranean, which they would call the Holy Roman Empire. Just right across the Mediterranean, if you look on a map. And the reason that happened really was because they got ships. They learned to make ships, big ships. And the Knights Templar were sailing these ships, and they were the first bankers. They developed the bond market. They developed the credit card system to take the pilgrims to the Middle East for the Crusades. And, of course, they fought Constantinople, and they fought other, you know, principalities in the area. But the main thing they did was they took their ships around the world. They looted the wealth of indigenous people through their conquistadors and through their, you know, just their invaders and their, you know, discoverers, you know, whatever. People were supposed to like, you know, people were supposed to admire. We're just a bunch of brutes working for the crown. So they brought all that wealth back to the Holy Roman Empire. And then there was a split where the Catholic Church kind of parted ways with the Illuminati. And they hung Jacques de Molay and burned him at the stake for being basically a Satanist. And so the Templars moved out and took their loot to Scotland, and they took their loot to Venice. And they established the Venetian banking cartels around the Lombards, the Guelphs, and some of these families. Queen Elizabeth is a Guelph, by the way. And then in Scotland, they developed Freemasonry. With help from the Nephilim Crown Sinclair family, and eventually were invited down into the city of London to sign the Magna Carta in the 11th century by William III on Lombardy Street, as in the Lombard family, which is the main thoroughfare in the city of London to this day. And that pretty much cemented this United Kingdom. You know, when the Venetian bankers moved north into that Norman Hanseatic League region, and then over to the UK, and in the meantime intermarrying with the Rolla family, which were the Vikings, and different other, you know, families. The Plantagenet family was a big one. Every president of the United States has been a Plantagenet since our inception from that bloodline, which explains why Obama is like related to Cheney, and, you know, all this stuff. Bushes are like cousins of the Windsors, you know, stuff like that. So they established this United Kingdom, and that's what it is. It's United Kingdom. It's where the kings decide, okay, it's an island. It's safe. We got the Templar warships. They don't have ships yet. Nobody else had ships yet. And it's very strategic to have this island, right? And in the North Atlantic, which is rough seas, you know. So they're pretty protected. And then they did the City of London and signed the Magna Carta, which was supposedly diminish the power of the royals, but actually what it was an agreement between the royals and the aristocrats to sort of form an alliance, of a fascist alliance, you know, that they'd work together now. And this is about a few hundred years later was when the Rothschilds came in, because there was a whole another strain from Babylon that went north to Khazar, became the Khazarian, or hooked up with the Khazarian people in the Caucasus. And those were the Ashkenazi Jews that later came into Europe and married into the royal families. And then they became a force, and that's like the Rothschilds were part of that, the Warburgs were part of that, the Jewish bankers that you hear about, you know, were part of that. But it's not a Jewish conspiracy by any means. It's way beyond that. These are just Hofjuden that worked as court Jews for the royals. And so they established this United Kingdom. And again, you go, this is the same bloodline, goes all the way back to the Anunnaki. And this is the Nephilim crown. And they are behind 5G, and they are behind the Fourth Industrial Revolution. They're behind the Bilderbergers and the Trudeau Commission and the CFR and World Economic Forum. The Perbright Institute is one of their big tentacles now. They were instrumental in Event 201, more so than Gates, more so than anybody. They set it up, and they were the ones that went and established a lab in Wuhan. Was the Perbright Institute, P-I-R-B, Bright, P-I-R Bright, and check it out. It's a crown. It's connected to the crown, and then Burroughs Wellcome, out of which GlaxoSmithKline came, there's also the Wellcome Trust, which is deeply involved with all this stuff, including Event 201. And that's another crown tentacle. So right up until the current, and every war, every, whether it was the Crimean War or the Napoleon versus, Waterloo, betting on both sides, funding both sides, the Vietnam War, every world war, funding both sides, creating chaos, every act of terrorism through the Khan bloodline family. The Aga Khan Foundation is the one that, with the help from the Saudi fund, the Saudis funded it. This is another crown, Nephilim crown family. The Saudis are part of this because, they're a crown family. They're part of the thing, part of the deal. So the Aga Khan Foundation funds the Mujahideen. They fund ISIS. They fund El Shabaab. All these Muslim terror groups are funded by the crown. And then genocide of all the native people in every continent. And then the advent of slavery was definitely the East India Company and the Dutch East India Company and the crowns of Portugal and Spain. It was all the crown. So you can really trace every bad thing that ever happened on this earth to this crown. Everything. Every single thing of any importance at all. And the plagues too, because crown means corona. Corona means crown in Spanish. And it's named after the crown, Christ's sakes. And they probably started naming this way back in 1918 when the Spanish flu came around. And that was probably a result of Crown Agent RCA developing sonar and radar. And our kids coming back from World War I were sick because they'd never been exposed to this stuff before. And so that's probably when the crown said, oh, we'll call it coronavirus, and we'll name it after us, because that's RCA Corporation was its crown agent corporation, out of which General Electric and Serco emerged. And Serco is the company that has every single 5G patent under control, because they have the contract to run our patent office at the Department of Commerce. And Serco also has the security contracts on every branch of our military, FBI, CIA, and NSA. So they have eyes on us all the time, including our troop movements, everything. So we're a colony. We're a colony of the crown. We still are. We got free for a while, 1776. And then they came back at us with the Bank of the United States, and then with the Federal Reserve, and then with the bankruptcy in 1933, where they collateralized all of us to pay the debt. And with the IRS, which is all money from the IRS that you pay in, goes to the crown to pay off the debt. It's horrible. You know, we're just scratching the surface here. But people need to start talking about this.
Yeah, I want to
cut off the head of the snake. If we don't know what the head of the snake is, well, I just told you what it is.
Yeah, and I want to go back to the possible off-planet aspect for a minute. I know we briefly discussed this one time before when you were on, but when you look at the cone-headed people, the remains that have been found through the years, Brian Forrester's done work on this. It seems to be connected to these elite families somehow. They're always found near megalithic structures. Do you think that these coneheads were the more pure bloodline of these extraterrestrial or demonic or whatever you want to call it? And over the years, it just kind of got bred out as they interbred with humans.
Yep, absolutely right. And not only that, but even today, there's this thing they call it the Habsburg jaw. The Habsburg family has this weird jaw from all the inbreeding where it's kind of crooked. And they do have elongated skulls still. Look at Prince William. Check it out. And he has got an extra long skull. There's no doubt about it. It's just right there in front of you. And that's probably because he's from a really pure Nephilim bloodline, because Princess Di had an affair with King Juan Carlos of Spain, who's a Habsburg, a Bourbon, and a Merovingian. And Diana was a Sinclair, a Spencer, and a Merovingian. So that's some powerful, you know, Nephilim bloodlines there. Again, intermarrying and inbreeding. But there's definitely an elongated skull there. And he's kind of got that Habsburg jaw a little bit too. So, and the Habsburgs are one of the most powerful of these bloodline families for sure. But they run all kinds of stuff underneath them. Like there's the Duke of Orleans, you know, and he administers the crime in New Orleans in this country, not far from where you're at, and runs the black gangs that run the ports of New Orleans. And they bring in the cocaine for United Brands, bananas, and United Brands has all those ships over there in Mississippi with all the casinos right there. That's where their new port is. It's all orchestrated. Every, like the Odicelli family handles the pedophilia, the Windsor family, the Gelf family, they handle HARP. They do HARP. The Hohenzollern family, they handle the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland, which is where they put all their money. And that's the central bank for central bankers, you know, in the world for the Federal Reserve and every other central bank. And they each have little tasks. It's amazing. But a lot of these fall under the Habsburgs, and they're very powerful. One of the very powerful bunches for sure. And I think it's shifting east, because now you're seeing this Khan family all over the place in the media, different things, like one of the Black Lives Matter founder, her surname is Khan, and you're seeing the Singh family show up a lot, which are all the Sikhs. All of a sudden the Sikhs are out of the closet, they're everywhere. The Sikhs are, the Singh family is part, is a Nephilim bloodline. You're also seeing the person that, in terms of China, you're seeing the Li family more and more, and you're seeing the Yamamotos in Japan with their SoftBank, control over SoftBank, which is really like an incubator for almost every single tech startup anymore. You know, it's SoftBank, it's in Japan, and the Saudis are heavily invested in that too. But it's like, there is a shift to the east, almost like where these, because this isn't just a European thing, you know. I mean, United Kingdom isn't just a European thing. They have their money there. You know, all these families have their money in the city of London, but they rule over different parts. Like the Khan family, you know, is India and Pakistan and Afghanistan. Like, you know, King's, you know, the current prime minister of Pakistan, his name is Khan. And every president in India has come from the Khan bloodline. And then the Shah family, which like the Shah of Iran or like Zahir Shah in Afghanistan, he's the king that we reinserted after the, you know, the invasion of Afghanistan. We did the Loya Jirgin, we put the Shah back in power and the king. And they all have their, you know, and the Khans, by the way, that's Genghis Khan's bloodline. So Genghis Khan is one of these bloodline families. That's why he was such a, you know, he was hideous butcher. But there is kind of a move to the east almost going on. And that probably has to do with some power shift where I think you're going to see the city of London Brexiting. That's why they're actually for Brexit. A lot of people think Brexit's a liberation thing for the British people. But I think it's just so the city of London can get out of the EU and be more autonomous and more mercantilist and more East India-ish, you know. And then they're going to tie up with the Chinese. So that's that. And that's the Hong Kong thing that's going on right now. It's real serious, very important that this works out the way they want it to. So you're going to see it. And that's why China is also being used as the model for the rollout of this Orwellian, you know, global police state, because those Asian families are, I don't know, maybe it's their turn. I don't know how it works. Probably. There's probably some, you know.
Yeah, China does seem to be at the center of a lot of this that's going on. Of course, the virus supposedly came out of China. Mm-hmm. We're rolling out this new Orwellian lifestyle that mimics China's social credit system. I can see that coming here soon. So, yeah, a lot of this does seem to revolve around China.
Yeah, for sure. And, so that's the sort of overview of it and how it works. And every country has a role. Like, you know, the U.S., our role is to be the enforcer, has been up until now, to be the enforcer around the world for the crown, fight their wars for them, send our boys to die, pay the taxes, pay for the war. You know, Israel is supposed to be this thing in the Middle East, as well as Saudi Arabia, that protects the oil interests of the crown families. And then, you know, everybody's got a role. China's got a role. China's, you know, not a communist country at all. I was there. Asked people, do you have free healthcare? Do you get free education? No. We have to pay for all that. There's nothing really communist about it that I could ascertain. And it's just a global wage, slave wage platform for Walmart and for Google and Apple. And, you know, Apple gets iPhones out of China for like $8 and sells them here for thousands of dollars. And so it's just a slave labor camp is all it is. It's not, you know, and there's no real tension, I don't think, between China and the U.S. I think ultimately they all work together under the umbrella of the crown. And like I said, I think like wars and nation states going at it is probably over, because I think they now have every nation state in their orbit, and it's a lot messier to have to go to war, take chances. You might get defeated, or you might get surprised, or your population might rise up and get tired of war, which Americans are definitely tired of war. And so, yeah, now it's just going to be a war on humanity by the crown. And maybe in this sense, again, it crystallizes it for people, and it becomes clear. And there's no more obfuscation. You can't, you know, you can't point your finger at the, oh, those dirty Bangladeshis took my job, or, you know, whatever. You can't divide. You just have to see it that way. Like, what we need to do is unite, like all of humanity, unite, man, woman, black, brown, you know, gay, straight, I don't care, man, whatever, who cares? It's just, we have to unite as kind of peasants, you know, and run at them, just overrun their castles. I mean, it's just kind of that simple. And maybe we have a chance now that they've stepped out of the shadows to do that, hopefully.
Yeah, I hope so. You mentioned something kind of briefly earlier, Project Bluebeam. Now, there has been, I don't know if you've noticed, there's been a lot of mainstream media talk about UFOs lately, talk from the Pentagon. You know, supposedly they have this off-planet material. They're saying, you know, they're admitting that these crafts are not from the from Earth. And it just seems too strange and too convenient right now that they're talking about all this. First of all, I don't trust anything coming out of the media or the government, and they're the ones talking about UFOs. So I'm just wondering, if they are they prepping us for something? Is there something going on? What are your thoughts about the UFO talk?
Yeah, that's exactly right. If you watch like Ancient Aliens on the History Channel or any of that garbage, it's all CIA people. It's propaganda. And if you really watch the shows, the sort of subtle message is that these people were so smart and crafty and technologically savvy and just amazing. Enough, you know, bragging up the crown. I mean, you know, a lot of this stuff is just going to be U.S. military technology. Just like with 9/11, I mean, it was probably no planes that hit those towers. It was probably holographs of fake planes flying in there, and then set up explosions of the elevator shafts, conveniently, you know, shut down in the 6 weeks before the 9/11 happened by Marvin Bush, the head of SecureSec, a Crown Agent Corporation, and that's George Bush's brother. It's going to be the same thing. It's going to be like, that's Project Bluebeam. It's going to be like holograms in the sky of all these spaceships probably. And then they'll march out some real U.S., you know, maybe shit planes that we don't know about or something.
Well, we already have the Space Force that's rolling out, you know, the Space Force.
Yeah, the Space Force will be, that's probably why it's being rolled out, a lot of it. That's what Project Bluebeam is supposedly going to entail. And yeah, when you start hearing the mainstream talking about this, you know, something's coming. And this is going to be, you know, how their slogans right now are, you know, we're all in it together. And this is, you know, even Reagan said it in a speech one time. He said, we just need an outside force.
I was just thinking about that.
Yeah. And, you know, so push us together and unite us. And it's fun and games, unite under the New World Order and slavery, you know, I guess, you know, sort of thing. But again, they're cloaking it in some kind of socialist collectivist language, when in fact this New World Order is going to be this brutal, barbaric, British mercantilist, laissez-faire capitalist, free-for-all control, even more by the 1% than everything else. But they're cloaking it like that. So, yeah, why not do a fake alien invasion and then unite everybody? But not really unite them. It's more like enslave them. More like keep them in their houses all scared. And they'll do as they're told. And if you don't do as you're told, you know, it won't be, oh, you're spreading COVID. It'll be, oh, you're enabling the aliens to invade us. You have to stay in your house. You know, or something like that. Yeah, so I think that's all in the cards probably. It might even be part of this dark winter. Because I already think, you know, again, they're going for broke right now. They know we're onto them. They know their time's up if they don't go for broke. And, you know, they're going for broke. So this COVID-19 is just the first salvo. And what we have to do is just keep firing back salvos, exposing them, and really start talking about this. And don't believe me on any of this stuff. Go check it out. Go check out the Crown. Go Google or maybe DuckDuckGo Crown Agents. You know, just type in Crown Agents. And you're going to see, like, they have branches in almost every country on this earth. Namibia, Zambia. I mean, it's right there in front of you. And they get all these government contracts with not just the U.S. government, but with the government of Zambia, you know, and the government of, Bangladesh. And they're just in there. They're like parasites between government agencies, even, that wouldn't even need it. You know, you just, like my friend was telling me tonight, the FCC is just giving the Pentagon all this bandwidth for 5G. But they didn't just pass it off, you know, government to government agency. No, they had to have a contractor in the middle. And apparently it was some contractor connected with Karl Rove, you know, so they're getting a cut. They just do this stuff. I mean, they've always done it like this, where they just sit back, they do absolutely nothing. And they're the middleman. They're making the money. And that's the system that we're under right now. And that's why our security is, well, it's bad. I mean, the security of this country is compromised severely by the same kings and queens that we fought, you know, to get free in the first place.
Right. Now, for the last few minutes that we have, I'd like to kind of discuss any possible solutions that we have, because coinciding with everything, we have this crackdown with censorship where they're just removing YouTube channels, anything that alternative media that they don't like, that they deem dangerous now. There's so much is dangerous now. Some, you know, even free speech is dangerous. So they're removing channels like mine. They're silencing voices like ours. I'm just wondering, what are some of the solutions that we can do to start fighting back against this? You mentioned talking to your local leaders, officials, getting to know your local sheriff and people like that, maybe even run for local office. Hell, I mean, it wouldn't hurt, but you know, what are your thoughts on some more solutions that we could maybe look at?
Yeah, it's all good. I think a lot of it has to do with just a general sense of dignity and audacity. And that's always been true. You know, when you're dealing with these guys, you know, it's always been the case that you have to have this kind of attitude of no fear. And again, don't play defense, play offense. And again, you know, everywhere you go, just, you know, you have to tell people about this stuff, and not all of them are going to be open to it. But, and sometimes you don't even have to tell them. Like I said, you just don't wear a mask. And then, you know, you're just showing people. Better yet, if you just do it like that, just set an example, you know, you don't have to blab it all over. This is what, you know, this is how it's going to be. But you do that with dignity and no fear and audacity. And that's God, you know, that's where God lives. God is audacious. Jesus was audacious, man. Buddha was audacious. Crazy was audacious. I mean, man, you know, and that's when the great things happen in the world, the things of beauty and the great artworks and great writings and the great anything, it's always out of this sort of audacity to it. You know, there's this edge to it, this audacity, this confidence in yourself, and starts really at the core of it with loving yourself, man, and feeling capable and feeling righteous that you're here for a reason. You know, they want to tell us we're just chaos and we're not, there's no reason for our life and it's all just a big accident. And you know, that's where it's all, their whole storyline, that's how they're spinning the whole thing, right? This whole demonic descending into this technocracy, it's all about chaos, right, and disruption. And but no, it's not true. It's like everybody is a soul and everybody has meaning in their life, and you're here in your job, in my opinion anyway, is to find out what that is. Like, what are you here for? What am I here for? You know, and then go about it with a sense of purpose and finding that. And then once you find that, then do it. But a lot of it's just audacity. And it really, I mean, there's different tactics, like you say, with the, meeting with your politicians or doing what we're doing here is good. Although, you're right. I mean, like I did an interview last Wednesday, and it's already gone on YouTube with Kieran, my friend in Ireland, who's a good dude. It's gone. The one I did with Renz last night, I said I emailed to people that they didn't get it tonight. That was yesterday. My nephews are just. And my nieces, all of them, both sides of the family, just my nieces and nephews, just deleted out of my Yahoo mail up emails. Just them, because they don't want, Uncle Dean, who's their elder, to have any influence on, make them think about this stuff. But it's too late. They don't even need to get these emails anymore because they all know and because I've told them and they do believe me. So, but, they're just constantly doing this all spirit. Tells you they're desperate, tells you they're freaking out bad, that they have to ghost level. And again, every time they censor something, the Buddha said, sometimes the best action is inaction. And there's a lot of truth to that statement. And a lot of the best thing to do right now is kind of sit still, be still, be calm, stay out of their way, let the elephant run by outside your door. And, if it comes to your door, then that's different, like I say earlier. But a lot of it is just, don't participate in any of these schemes. As always, try not to shop. Try not to spend a lot of money that you don't have on their crap, which is just crap. It's all about somebody being enslaved somewhere. Try not to go to a job if you can help it. Congratulations on that. Thanks. What I hear. Just try to be free. That's the most dangerous thing that these people can't stand. You know why they slaughtered the Indians and why they enslaved the Africans is because they went to these continents, these Wetiko mindset people who are so infected by the Crown's belief system, garbage belief system, that they just couldn't stand how free the Native Americans were. They couldn't stand how free the Black Africans were. They just couldn't stand it. So they had to kill them and enslave them.
Yeah, probably free and happy. They don't want happiness.
And happy as hell. Really happy. And yeah. And exactly. So a lot of it is just try to untangle. That's what my book, Sticking It to the Matrix, is about. It's like how to get out of the system, and how to, not be a slave. Not, because once you're a free actor, then you got free speech all the time, 24/7. You don't have to worry about going to some job and some boss and, saying certain things and it'll get you fired. And it will too. I mean, I know that. But try to get free of the entanglements. And the other reason to do that is because there's coming over the horizon is this universal basic income. And it's going to be tied to this stimulus, next round of stimulus probably. And there's going to be a time when, if you don't have money in the bank, a little bit at least, a cushion, to get you through, you're going to be much more vulnerable to, here's $1,000 if you get vaccinated. I've even heard them talking about paying people to get vaccinated. And if they do that, it's going to be the poorer people with no money that will take them up on it. And which is, they'd love nothing better because those are the people they hate the most. The Black, the brown, and the white trash, poor people. They hate us. They hate them. Right. So they want us groveling and they want us destitute so that we could be manipulated that much easier. So you got to get a little cushion under you and it's pretty easy. Just quit shopping. You don't need an iPhone. You just don't need it. It's a tracking device. You don't need a lot of stuff. And that's what my whole book's about. And that's the way I've lived. And it's good and it's good karma. And it's just, it's a simple life. And without a lot of distractions, keep it simple. They're always trying to speed you up. They're always trying to get you shopping. They're always trying to, speed you up and get you shopping. and you really have to resist that,
Yeah. No, you're exactly right. And another thing is they are trying to extinguish love and empathy from the planet. and we need to bring that back. I think that's a huge part of what we need to do is bring back love, bring back empathy. They would love it if it was just full of fear and hate, because that's what they're trying to do right now, push fear and hate and division. But if we bring the opposite, it terrifies them.
Exactly. Yeah, really good point, you know, and that's the thing. So everybody's going through this together. Everybody's having a hard time. And so you just, you know, everybody's going to have those days when you think about this big picture and it's like, wow, you know, this sucks. But you just have to remember, we're all going through it together. And the one thing you can always do is make the life of your neighbor or your family member or somebody that is in proximity to you, just try to make their life a little easier, you know. Like as I'm shoveling snow at the apartment tonight, you know, for people outside of myself and other people have been doing it. And it's just, and it rubs off. And it's like, you know, that's the way to be. And that's what defeats these people ultimately.
Yeah, it's contagious.
Is that love and that, yeah, it is contagious. And because it's who we are. It's the human condition. That's the true human condition. And that tells you we did come from a creator, a Wakantaka, a great mystery, or, you know, somewhere that we can't comprehend how awesome and good that force is. And we're not just, you know, some DNA experiment of the Anunnaki. And we're not just, you know, moldable clay. And we're not just, you know, these physical shells that want to eat and fuck and whatever. It's just, it's way beyond that. You know, we're way better than that. And, you know, so that they hate that. They hate that when you're on that side of things. And that's what we need to be. That's what you, I guarantee you, man, that's what'll make you happy. You know, not thinking in the, it's kind of a quiz materialistic way, but thinking in a broader way of how can I make the world better? Like every day you get up and you don't think, what can I get from the world? You think, what can I give to the world? What can I, how should I spend my day to day? Because our days are numbered and on this earth. And from there, from here, I don't know where we go, but we got a big job ahead of us. Just getting this word out. And I do think we're getting it out though too. And so people should just stay encouraged, you know, and encouraged means, you know, to give courage, you know, not to discourage, not to take people's courage away, to encourage. And that's really important, man. And just encourage people. It helps them get through this thing. And we're all in it together, man. And if we do really get together and unite, that is also the way we defeat this thing. And it'd be easy. And once we get to that point of unity, oh my gosh, it's so easy. They'll go away. We'll put them all in jail. It'll be over. But it's that mindset or that maybe that heart set, maybe the opening of your heart chakra and the closing of your mind a little bit, because that's where they manipulate you, is your mind. That's where fear lives and cunning lives and cleverness lives and all this kind of crazy psycho stuff you don't need. But what you need is right here, and your instincts live here and your natural state lives here. Indians did not have like a word for brain or heart, or, you know, they just considered all your essence, like what you are, you know. But it was the white man and the crown. I shouldn't say the white man, it's the crown, came along with its scientific explanations, and it just atomized and objectified and dissected and trisected and magnified and, you know, just break everything down into the smallest possible. And it's like a dark hole. It's like an abyss. It's not scientific at all. It's a total failure of the human condition when you go down that hole of what they call science, because we're finding out that, for example, particle physics is a total fraud. It's all about electricity and plasma, and it has nothing to do with these little protons and neutrons, which is why these idiots are just, you know, going nuts at CERN trying to find the God particle, because they can't figure it out. That they can't back out and widen their view and say, well, wait a minute, maybe we shouldn't have even gone down that germ theory road, you know, and that's really why we're in this cul-de-sac. And with COVID, is everybody, the whole medical establishment went down the germ theory road, and they took the wrong road, and they didn't take the terrain theory road, which is that everything has to do with an environmental condition that causes the exosomes to come out as a virus and exhibit because you were exposed to toxins, which is to me a lot more sensible. So, but when you have, when you take that initial wrong road like that, and then you have to somehow justify numbers, it's a problem. So it's not science. We are the, we have the science on our side. So that's the one thing is, you know, you have to take that moral high ground with those kind of things too, and just say, wait a minute, we're the scientists, you're not. See, you're big pharma. You know, call yourself what you are. You're big pharma. You're not. There's nothing scientific about any of your methods at all. And what you say is science is, and it's flawed, and it's from the crown, and it's based on the thinking of inbreds. Let's just say, you know.
Very well said. Dean, I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. Fantastic information. Very important to get out there. If people are interested in finding your books and more about you, what's the best way that they can do so?
Yeah, just my books are all, unfortunately, the only place you can get them is Amazon. But just type
in Amazon. You broke up right there. Did you say Amazon?
Yeah, Amazon. Yeah, just type in Dean Henderson, Amazon. And you can, I got 6 books there. You can see them. And that, I don't have a website anymore, and I'm not going to get one back going. I just do the interviews. And so I really don't have much of a presence on the net, other than if you can find my interviews, a lot of them are deleted. Most of them, thousands have been deleted. And then this one I'll probably be deleted in a week. So
I tell you what, the podcast that I have, it seems that they're not messing with podcasts too much yet. So all our previous interviews that I've had with you are still up on the podcast. They're amazingly still up on YouTube.
Excellent.
So I think you know, we'll always find a way to get it out there.
Excellent. Thanks for having me, Chris. Enjoy that balmy weather down in the bayou.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Snowstorm.
Well, yeah, I can't wait to get up to a little bit more in that mountain environment. That'll be great. But Dean, thanks again so much for coming on, and we'll have you back on sometime soon.
Sounds awesome, man.